We have been working through the Genesis creation story, and this week's Thanksgiving, and so I thought that this is extraordinarily appropriate of a topic to talk about on Thanksgiving. And thanks, by the way, for those of you who have had to suffer my Thanksgiving sermons throughout the 17 years that I've been here. I always say this because God made me who he made me to be, and I'm thankful, but he was gonna make me a Mexican, but then kind of forgot. And it just slipped a little bit, and I ended up being a gringo. But had I been a Mexican, I love the Spanish language because it's a thoroughly theological language. And I've talked about this a lot. Its words really are rich in theology. For instance, the word thank you in Spanish is what? Which is where we get our word what from? That's right. Yeah, so thank you is a response to grace. God gave me something for free, and I am gracias, thankful, right? And so that's why I love the language, because it's so theological and so cool. And by the way, of course, Latin, you know, that was when, you know, anyways, I won't go into why it is, but it has to do with the Roman Catholic Church, right? I mean, Latin was the language of the Roman Catholic Church, and so a lot of the language is very beautiful and very theological, but that's one of my favorite words. Like, I don't like the word thank you, and I'll tell you where it came from, thangk, which is how they used to say the word back in King James days, which was to think of you, I thank of you, as a kind of Southern, before Southern was Southern, you know, But that was where the word came from, and what it kind of meant was, that was very thoughtful, or I'm thoughtful of you, or something in response to whatever you gave me. But gracias is way better, and because it means that God has given me something, and I'm thankful. So here's the question it begs for today's text. What has God given us that we're thankful for? And, of course, we've already seen the entire creation, and we already know that the heavens declare the glory of God. We already know that that God created man in his image, and that was glorious. And what we saw last week was the theology of work. That is, that God put us to work, ordering, organizing, and subduing, having dominion, and overseeing the creation. So God put us as his vice regents to come in and to oversee the creation. So we saw last week a aspect, of course I didn't go into the weeds of it, but the theology of work. So, well, if God's made the world and he's made creation and he's put us to work in it, there's one thing left. And let's read it together. Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. So, God decides that he's going to build an entire day in for rest. And of course, you know the Hebrew word for that is Sabbath, somebody said, and you get the star. Yes, so the Hebrew word for rest is to Sabbath, right? And so Sabbath doesn't mean seventh. That sounds like it, but that's not it. And so Sabbath means rest. It literally is the Hebrew word for he quit, or he desisted, or he stopped, or he rested. That is, he was done working, creating, and he decided for one day that he was going to rest. And then he was going to not just rest, but that he was going to bless the day of rest and make the day of rest holy. That is, to sanctify it, and that is to set it apart as a day of ceasing from rest. What had God just done with his people? He had just put us to work, hadn't he? To oversee and subdue and to take care of his creation. And now he rests, and he tells us to rest. And so I'll quickly use my last Thanksgiving reference, unless I'm wise enough to bring it back in the end. What are we thankful for? Oh, thank you. Y'all didn't do very good. Let's try one more time. So what are we thankful for? That's right. Okay, so so we see this. Now, so there's been a lot of chit-chat. Like, I could talk about the Sabbath forever. There's 167 references of it in the Scripture. And there's a pre-fall Sabbath, which is what we're talking about now, which is there's no sin yet. And God preserves and makes a holy day of rest for himself. God bless the day, and he rest. And I'm going to show you something that'll blow your mind in a minute, because it's like God always tries to blow our mind. And so there's a mind-blowing statement I'm going to show you in a minute. But so here's this day that God creates for himself for rest. And then also he makes it holy, and he has just put us to work in his creation, but he includes us in the rest. And so let me say this about rest. This is a part of creation, that God literally created a day of rest. And so that's it. So, like, how many days are there in the calendar in a week? How long have there been 7 days in a week? Since the first week, there's been 7 days in a week. There's no calendar in all of history that doesn't have a seven-day week. For those of you who want to go back and see who made up stuff. And so 7 days, God makes it holy. And there's this conversation about, well, does God want us to keep taking a day off and resting? And, of course, as you know, and I don't have enough time to talk about this, and I don't even have enough time to talk about, like, the law side of it. So I'm going to mention it in a second, but what I mean is I don't have time to talk about all the implication. Is this a New Testament thing or an Old Testament thing? We talk about this stuff all the time, and that's appropriate conversation to have. But I'm just going to stick with, because we're before the fall and because we're in creation, I'm just going to stick with that part of rest. Does that make sense? God designed his people. God designed for himself rest, and God designed for his people rest, and God designed for his creation rest. And you'll see this in when he unpacks it deeper, he will say, chickens are supposed to rest, the little puppies are supposed to rest, the gophers get a day off from gophing, and like, he says, you're not, everybody's supposed to rest, right? And so if you want to think about this, is like, you know, there's employers that let their company have off on one day a week. And because God also said, let your workers have off for a day. right? Every week. And so if you're an employer and you don't do that, Bub, I don't know how long you work them, but you need to get squared away. If, yeah, see? That's the weight of sin right there. The darkness came in. No. Okay, so pretty sure he gives people a day off. And so, but, you know, so God said that. And by the way, what an extraordinary, I agree, Brett, what an extraordinary setup in that video where God wanted us to, because what does it do? It says, I'm supposed to rest. I'm supposed to rest. I'm supposed to rest everything, right? I'm supposed to rest my lawnmower. Somebody say amen. And so I'm supposed to rest my dishwasher. And all God's women said, yes, Lord. And for those of you males who do it, and I don't want to be sexist here. So anyways, so here, but this is the whole point, is that God said rest. And God didn't say for us to rest. God said he was resting, and he made rest for everything, everything. He wants creation to rest. And so, okay, so the very first test, and this the video guy picked this up big time. The very first test that God gives his people, you know, what was that line? The line is like, that we ask for God's stuff and we can see how he trusts us. And I don't like, is Rick here? I don't like the that's why I trust him line. If you want to change that, Bubby, you can do it on the slide right now while I'm talking. It's like, oh, how I trust him, instead of that's why I trust him. Because, I mean, if he doesn't answer me the way I want to be answered, I'm still trusting him, right? What did Job say, though? He slay me, yet will I trust him. So I'm just cleaning that up a little bit for you. And by the way, that actually is a scripture verse, but it has to be kind of read in context, or it sounds like the only reason I trust God is because he answers my prayers. And that's not why I trust God. I trust God because of what happened on Calvary. And so, so the children of Israel are coming out into the desert. And for those of you who haven't lived in the desert, let me tell you something about it. And where I lived in the desert is not like the Saudi Arabian desert. But they're coming out into the desert, and let me tell you something about the desert. Nothing grows there. Like, when we came to the south, we were like, we heard there was the color green. We just didn't believe it. You know, we heard that trees actually had leaves. We'd just never seen them. And so what happens is that nothing grows in the desert, right? So God had to provide his people food in the desert. And remember how what he provided them for food was what? Manna in the morning and what in the evening? Quails. Yep, that was after a little griping, but he was good with it. So he gave them little quails. So manna's quails, right? And so anybody ever been quail hunting? You know, you have, Jordan. And then, Tyler Hondo. Did you do it in Honduras or did you do it here in the States? Yeah, here, okay. And so, quails, but here's what he said to them on the sixth day. What did he tell them on the sixth day to do? He said, I want you to gather 2 days' worth on the sixth day. This is before the Sabbath laws. This is before the laws, so this is, I'm letting you know that God had established this, and he said, here's why. I want to test you to see if you trust me. And what did he say? I want you to rest on the other day. So you gather up two helpings on Friday, and because you ain't getting nothing on Saturday. And sure enough, they didn't. And, you know, if you want to read that, it's in Exodus 16, but he talks a whole bunch about how they blew that and it didn't work out and he had to straighten them out. Listen to how he talks about the Sabbath as it relates to that, which was before the law was given to Moses. See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. So The Lord has given you a day of rest. So I want you to say this with me. The Lord has given us a day of rest. Say it with me. The Lord has given us a day of rest. That's the whole point. I mean, I kind of just want to do the drop mic thing, but I don't know how to do it. So, you know, I'm going to keep talking. But that is the point. The Lord himself, God, rested, and he gave you a day of rest. He gave you a day of rest. And the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in their place, and let no one go out of your place on the Sabbath. And so the people rested on the seventh day. So the Lord gave us a day of rest. And then, of course, in the law, he unpacks a little bit more. Not too long from now, Moses encounters the Lord up on the mountain, and the Lord gives him how the people are to live. And, of course, this is what you hear about, but I want you to pick up a word that maybe you haven't picked up before when you've seen the fourth commandment. And listen to the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, I want to stop there and say something, because that first word is the word that you probably don't pick up. What does he say? Remember it. It means they're already doing it. It started in creation. So he doesn't establish the Sabbath in the law. He says to remember the Sabbath in the law. Somebody say, oh, okay, I never saw that before. Okay, well, I mean, unless you did, then you can just say, I knew that. Okay. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor. And for those of you who don't labor for 6 days, you're not doing that part either. Hello? I'm just stepping on some toes out there. Y'all 5 day workers, y'all need to get to work. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a to the Lord your God. On it don't do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your male servant, that's your employees in our context, your female servant, your livestock, don't make your cows do nothing either, or the sojourner, or anybody else that's hanging around with you working. And then what does he do? He immediately goes back to creation to establish it, right? For in 6 days the Lord made heaven, the earth, and the sea, and all that's in them. And the Lord on the seventh day, therefore the Lord and made it holy. Exactly. So rest today. Rest today. Quit. Cease and desist. In Exodus 31, there's a great passage. And in Exodus 31, he talks a little bit more about it. But I want you to listen to how he talks about it in Exodus 31. Here's how he says it in Exodus 31. And the Lord said to Moses, you're to speak to the people of Israel and say, above. Now, who is he talking to here? The people of who? Okay, so this is a bit different. Okay, so he's now talking to the nation of Israel. That's also the nation that he gave the law to, right? So remember, us Gentiles didn't get the law, but the nation of Israel did. And he said, I want you to, and you're to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, now what does above all mean? Everybody else is resting too in the whole world. Remember, every calendar has 7 days. But above all, that is, you're my chosen people. You're my special people. Above all, you shall keep my Sabbath. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify. Yeah, not only did I set this day apart of rest, but I, the Lord, have set you apart. And as we saw in that great upfront piece, to enter in my rest, to be my people of rest. I'm going to do the work, you get to rest. And so, and we'll see post-fall when you, all the ceremonial parts, there's a bunch of Sabbaths. And what's happening in all of the Sabbaths? In all of the Sabbaths, God has done work and the people are resting and enjoying the work that God has done. There's a Sabbath in the harvest. There's a Sabbath in the atonement, right? All these different things are Sabbaths because the Lord's doing the work of purifying his people, sanctifying his people, blessing his people with crops, whatever it may be. And God's people are resting in the work of God. Does that make sense to everybody? So what do we do on the Sabbath? We rest. But we don't just rest, we rest in the work that he has done. And what is his most supreme work? He has saved his people from their sins. And so when we enter into his rest, we're resting in the work that God has done, not only in the creative work that God has done, not only in the material work that we are working with all our hands unto the Lord, but we're also resting in the work that he has done on Calvary. And in us all week long as we labored for him. You shall keep the Sabbath. It's holy for you. And this is an interesting one y'all probably haven't read. And everyone who profanes it shall be put to, ugh, ouchie. Oh, that's one of those ones he killed you for. You know, thou shalt not murder. And if you do, you're going to be put to. And by the way, if you don't keep the Sabbath, same. So God must be serious about the Sabbath. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. You see how he added the word solemn? Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout all their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel. And remember, the people of Israel are the people of God, which we get grafted into, the Gentiles get grafted into, right? And so we enter into the rest, which is into the work that God has done. This is Hebrews 4, talks very specifically about this whole entering into the rest of the work that God has done, the redemptive work and all this kind of stuff. And he says, it is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel, because, and then he goes back to creation. In 6 days, the Lord made heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was what? Well. How about that? You think about God himself. God needs to be refreshed. Does that blow your mind? Yeah, I don't get it at all. I mean, honestly, I don't have anything more to say about it except just to quote it to you. I have no clue how that can even be. But God said it, and it's not the only place that he said it. And then in a couple other passages, which I didn't, well, I actually wrote, oh, and then the next verse says this. The next verse says this. Nope, back. Okay, six. Oh, yeah. See, I put this in. Oh, yeah, this is actually farther around. This is in Exodus 27. I'm sorry, I added this verse. My bad on this above. 6 days shall you do your work. On the seventh day you shall rest, so that your ox and your donkey also will rest, and the son of your servant woman, and the alien, so that they can be refreshed. So there's something about working, and there's something about resting, and there's something about being refreshed. And then, for all the legalists that tried, as you guys know this, Jesus got picked on about the Sabbath all the time. I mean, it was the primary thing that they thought they could get him be put to death about, right? They were always trying to find something to put Jesus to death about. And if you break the Sabbath, you can be put to death. And so what happened was they're always saying, oh, saw you doing that, you know, and they were always trying to put Jesus to death. At the end of these times, a couple of them, Jesus would say this. He said, and he, Jesus, said to them, the Sabbath was made for us. This is the Lord Jesus talking about the Sabbath. It was made for us. It was made for you. It was a gift from God for you. Not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And so you may say, well, what's the point about all that? So don't get bogged down into all the little religious parts of it. As you know, and I could have gone through this list, there's tons of things that the Lord endorses. As a matter of fact, it looks like he insists on the Sabbath, taking care of the poor, taking care of the ox that's in the ditch, all the different things and all the different things that they imply. You know, why? Because the poor person has to be fed even on the day that he can't go out and work. You know, some people just can't rest, and so they need to be cared for. And all there's all manner of things that can be done in a godly way on the rest day. But rest. And then I'm going to close and just tell you a little bit about my story and how I came to Mississippi. Those of you who've been around for a while know, but I came to Mississippi primarily in because of the disobedience of this principle. Primarily because of the disobedience of this principle. I had what's called a burnout. And it primarily is because I never, ever rested. I just didn't do it. And what was that a testimony of in my own heart? You can say sin. Go ahead and say sin. Yeah, that's right. But the sin specifically was what he was talking about in the video up front. Is that I wasn't trusting God, who was the one who was working. God was at work. He was at work in the people of the church that I was pastoring. He was at work in my family. He was at work in all the different things that I was getting my hands into. And God was at work. And what I thought was that I had to keep on working. And God said, no, Bobby, listen. I needed to be refreshed on the seventh day. So do you. And he sat me down. And let me tell you something. How many years did the nation of Israel go into exile? Does somebody know? How many? 70 years, that's right. The nation of Israel went into exile for 70 years. Do you know why? Because they did not let the land rest. And God said, you have not rested the land. So the land was supposed to rest 1 year out of seven, right? So you were supposed to work the land for 6 years, let it rest on the seventh year. Well, imagine how many years had gone by, 490 years had translapsed, and they had kept working the land on the seventh day. And God says, listen, I'm done with this. You guys are going into exile for 70 years so that the land can have its rest. And so, and then he said at the end of 70, you can look at this in 2 Chronicles 29, and you can look at this in Jeremiah 1, and you can look at this in Ezra 1. But God said, listen, I'm serious about this. If you don't rest, I'll rest you. And I'm here because God rested me. I couldn't function. I mean, toward the end of my time at Estrella Mountain Church, I literally couldn't function. I remember the last Christmas that I was there. I was trying to serve communion. We had three services. I was trying to serve communion in those services, my only task. And I was literally oozing out my pores. I mean, that's literally true. Ask Jack on just like would out of my, it was, my body had kind of shut down and my immune system was gone and I was literally a mess, just a stress ball. Only one reason. Bobby thought that he needed to work and forgot that God was at work. And the way that God tests us in this is whether or not we'll rest. And if you won't rest, it's a testimony that you think that you need to work and you forgot who's at work. So let me say this to you. Sabbath is a holy principle. It's a great gift from God to his people. Rest. Rest. Not going to get into all the legalism of it. The Lord made it for us, not so that we would get all uptight about it. He made it for us. But that's one of the great principles. Not only is the principle of work that we saw last week, but also the principle of rest that God has given His people. So, and for those of you who are a bit lazy, the other half of the commandment is 6 days you shall. Amen. And for those of you who like me, who don't trust the Lord and trust yourself, if you don't rest, you'll get rested. Guarantee that. Don't do it the hard way. How many of you like to learn the hard way? Will you raise your hand? Yeah, everybody's like, hey, yeah, both hands. Yes, sir. That's the only way I've ever learned anything. Well, yeah, is there another way? Exactly. Oh, Lord, we come to you. Whoa, we thank you so much. Muchas gracias for rest. Thank you for giving us the creation to work. Thank you for work being such a blessing of who we are in you. And thank you for sanctifying and making holy rest. We, Lord, have not honored that, have not seen how big a deal it is. And Lord, please help us to understand and see rest. And to accept it as a gift from you and to enter into it with joy. You're the worker. We're the recipients. Lord, thank you for rest. That is a testimony of that and a sign of it. In Jesus' name, amen.